Okay, so we are up to. Okay, let's see. We are up to Pasuk Gimel. Okay, Rabbi Yisai, we're up to Pasuk Gimel. But before we come to Pasuk Gimel, we have to go over. Let's just go over a few short things. Let's start with a Maimer Chazal on page 17. Okay, on page 17. Okay, there's important Chazal, which everyone, all of the commentators here on page 16, they all basically just, they draw from what it says in the Gemara. So once you know the Gemara, you really, really, pretty much everything else is really all downhill. And where does it start? Let's see, it starts really on page 14. It goes 14, let's see, on page 14, on the very, very bottom, on the right side, where it says, Likutei Shas Umidrashei Hatanoim. Okay, so here it says in Pasuk Aleph on the very, very bottom, V'hoyon Mispar B'nei Yisrael K'chol Hayom Asher Lo Yiman V'lo Yisofer. Okay, there are two different things. A lot of them, Farshim, on this, on the page over here, they dwell upon the question, what is the difference between sand and the stars? What's the difference between counting and measuring? So, everyone pretty much. Okay, you'll tell me in a moment what he says, but everyone, let's just see what it says over here on the page first. So everyone over here pretty much draws, they draw from the words of the Gemara. And here is where it's quoted, this is fantastic, we have over here the Gemara Chazal right in front of us in this edition, on the bottom. Again, on page 14 on the bottom, Pasuk Aleph, V'hoya mispa b'nei yishlo k'cholay ma'asher lo yiman v'lo yisafer, Omar Rabbi Elazar kol ha-moyneh, kol ha-moyneh es yisrael oiver b'laf. Okay, so we come now upon a halachic issue. You're not allowed to count the Jewish people, a census. Yeah. This is a very big problem in Eretz Yisrael. When they do a census, okay, they always have every so often, they have a, even in America, they do a census. Are you allowed to participate in the census? There's a prohibition that you're not allowed to count the Jewish people. If you, David HaMelech, this is why there was a Magetha, David HaMelech, he violated. Okay, it's hard. Machzis HaShekel. That's a topic of discussion. Moshe Rabbeinu in his mind. If you don't actually count out by pet, for classic example, you want to have a minion. You want to know if there is a minion. So what do? So Hoshia Samecha or Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Melech Olam Hamotzi Lecha Min Haaretz. 10 words. What? It's indirect. Indirect. Anything which is indirect, it's not, it's that is the halacha. It's very good. The bottom line is, you're coming up with a number, but if you're doing it in an indirect way, it's permitted according to halacha. Moshe Rabbeinu, you're right, there's one gemara that says that Moshe went outside the tent, and Ruach HaKodesh told him how many people were inside, and he walked through Klal Yisrael, and he came to the number, and he came to whatever the numbers were, for all the different Shvatim, and for the total Klal Yisrael, whatever it was. How many people were in Klal Yisrael at this point in time? Do we even know how many people were living were in Klal Yisrael? So I think Rav Moshe says, Rav Moshe, when he uses the calculation to determine, Rav Moshe is a very chiddush, that he holds that if you have an area of Yud Beis Mil where there are approximately, I don't know the numbers, I don't remember the truth, once upon a time he was more into this, in between 2.5 million and 3 million, something like that. So he, Rav Moshe, a unique chiddush, he considers the makom to automatically be a reshus harabim de oiraisa. How do you get the number 3 million? Lav dafka 3 million. I think he says even less. It doesn't have to be 3 million, even less. I think 2.5 million. In 2.5 million, how do you get that number? Because the assumption was in Mitzray, in the midbar, Klal Yisrael resided in the area of Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil. So what is that? How many miles is that? How many miles is Yud Beis Mil by Yud Beis Mil? The mil is 3/4 of a mile. So 3/4 of a mile, what is it? The 9? Approximately 9 miles by 9 miles? Something like that? So 9 miles, square area of 9 miles by 9 miles. And you have 600,000 men over the age of 20. So what is that? Now, there's 600,000 men over the age of 20. How many women are there? So we assume there's at least one woman for each man. Okay, so there's going to be now 1.2 million adults over the age. How many children are there going to be? I don't know the calculation. You have to ask the statistician to come up with a number. Rav Moshe says the number is approximately somewhere between 2.5 million and 3 million people. Therefore, that was considered to be a Rishus.
9 miles by 9 miles, a very big area.
Very big area. Maybe 9 miles to Yud Beis. What is three quarters? Three quarters.
The middle of 3 quarters of a mile.
Yeah.
So you do 12 of them, it's 9, you're right.
9, so we have 9, approximately 9 miles by 9 miles. So if you have an open area and you have 3 million, 2.5 million, 3 million people, Rav Moshe's opinion, this is a chiddush, doesn't say this anywhere, as far as I know. Rav Moshe admits it's a very big chiddush, and that's why many, many poskim have a hard time accepting this. He considers that mokum to be like the Midbar, and the Midbar, it says explicitly that al yetzei ish min mekomo, the source for the Isser Darais of carrying from a Rishus HaYochid to a Rishus HaRabim, comes from the Midbar. So he considers the entire area to be a Rishus HaRabim Darais. Now, I'm not going to the laws of Erevin, I just want to point out that Rav Moshe says that the number is approximately 3 million. 3 million people. Okay, so now this is going off the topic. This is just it shook me up. This idea is that the Holocaust was 6 million people. So the Holocaust was double the number of people who were the Yotzei Mitzrayim. That's the Chazal. Chazal often, but every so often when they want to give an exaggerated number, they say Kefel Miyotzei Mitzrayim, double the number of people who came out of Egypt. Am I correct? That's an expression,
yeah,
Chazal.
1.2 mil pops up every so often.
What? Kefil miyotzei Mitzrayim. It's an expression in the Gemara that when Chazal want to talk about a very large number of people, they say so many people, double the number of people who came out of Mitzrayim.
Is that men only or women?
No, that means everyone. That means men, women, and children. So when Moshe Rabbeinu came up with the number 600,000,
I think that's right. The 600,000 is only men.
Right.
No, that's only men. 3 million is the estimate.
Is the estimate of men, women, children. Right, that's what I'm saying. Right.
Yeah.
The Pasuk says, it says in the Pasuk there were 600,000 men who came out of Mitzrayim over the age of 20. Or will it to be more accurate, it was 600,550. Okay, so it says in the Pasuk. What are those men? Men only over the age of 20.
Right.
Now, for every man, there's a woman. And then you have to deal with children. And the children, the population, there's an assumption of what the population is. I'm not a statistician, I don't know, but the experts tell us
this. It's based on Chamushim. That's where they get the five factors. Chamushim, Me'aretz Mitzrayim.
Chamushimi Eretz Mitzrayim. That's a different thing altogether.
So they get the five factor from that.
Oh, from that's where they get 3 million?
Mm-hmm.
Chamushim, that's of men, but that's only of men. I'm talking about, let's take a step back.
You get the 3 million overall.
Yeah. That's 600,000 by times five. Okay, that's a different approach. Let's talk about what took place in the Midbar. In the Midbar, the Rav Moshe says this. In the Midbar, it says in the Torah, do not take out an object from your private dwelling into the Rishus HaRabim. Al yetzei ish b'mekoymai b'yoyim hashvi'i, do not come forward from your home into the Rishus HaRabim to bring a donation to the Beis HaMikdash. From that pasuk we learned there's a melacha deraisa called hoitzah. You're not allowed to take something from your private domain and bring it out into the public domain. Why is the Midbar called a public domain? So Rav Moshe says, well, in the Midbar, let's make a calculation. In the Midbar, there were 600,000 men in the desert. We're not talking about what took place in Egypt, time of Choshech, when they died. In the desert, there were 600,000 men over the age of 20, which means there must be a woman for each man, which takes us to the point of 1.2 million. And then, I don't know the number. Is that when we say 600,000 this year, Michal? Is that until 100 years old, or does that only go until an age till 60, from 20 to 60? I don't remember.
I don't think so.
It goes all the way into old age, over 20. Doesn't make a difference, right? Okay, so I don't know how it's a very high number. It's a very inflated number, but that's what they say. I don't know. You have to go check into this. That's what I remember hearing many times. It's approximately 3 million. Not exactly 3 million. It's approximately 3 million. In New York, In New York City, that's where Rav Moshe holds. Rav Moshe holds it here in Brooklyn. This is Chiddush. This is, it all comes down to this. And in Brooklyn, the area, there's an open area. Go try to slice out an area in Brooklyn. And it's more than, it's a practice, it's an area of 9 miles by 9 miles. Go up, take them out.
It's less than that.
It's less. So then I don't know. I don't, you have to, I don't know. I don't know what it means. I don't know.
12
it's
mil or 1.2 mil?
12 mil. Yud Bey's mil, what was the encampment of the Jewish people in the Midbar? Was it Yud Bey's mil? I don't know. I don't know. I'm just talking off the top of my head. I do not know. But there's a certain area. There's a certain area. If it does not have within it, let's say, I don't know the exact number, somewhere in the range of 3 million people, then it's not called a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa. And therefore, there's a solution. There are techniques and what you can do in order to permit one to carry from the Rishus Yacha to the Rishus HaRabim. But if, in an area that we consider in Halacha to be the same area of what Klal Yisrael lived in the Midbar, you have a population equivalent to the population of the Jewish people in the Midbar, then that area automatically, in Rav Moshe's understanding, becomes a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa, to which there's almost no solution. There are solutions, but it's almost impossible to achieve. It's almost impossible to achieve. Whatever it is, it's not the topic now. It becomes a Rishus HaRabim De'oraisa. Now, all I want to take from that, I just want to make this point, is that the population, according to Rav Moshe, and he's basing this upon something which I don't know, I didn't look into this, I didn't prepare for this today, I just didn't go top of my head, is approximately 3 million people. There is a chazal, I'm telling this chazal, Kefel Miyotze Mitzrayim. And Michal, you're telling me it only refers to the men. Maybe you're right. Kefel Miyotze Mitzrayim, but it's an expression. And it's a number, it's a very exaggerated number to refer to, oh, the double Klal Yisrael. It's very frightening. This occurred to me this week, very frightening. I was reading about the Holocaust. It's very frightening. The Holocaust was exactly that. This expression that is used by Chazal, Kefel Miyotze Mitzrayim, scary. It's exactly what it is. It was Kefel Miyotze Mitzrayim. 6 million people is double the number of Jews who left Egypt. It was 600,000 men over the age of 20, which means that the population in total, including the children and the women, is approximately 3 million. And therefore, the Holocaust was double of Yotzei Mitzrayim. Isn't that a shocking thing? The magnitude of what happened? It's hard to wrap your head around that. 7 million. They say now, the big mumchim, what?
Yeah.
The big mumchim say that it was, they know now as a fact that it was really 7 million. Okay, I've heard this already more than once. They know that the cities that even knew existed, which they now discovered, and Shtetloch, and the counting, and all the calculations,
A certain priest is very involved with this, right?
Who?
A priest.
Yeah?
Yeah, in Russia. Yeah.
And what does he say?
He said that there's more.
There's more. Much more. 7 million. If they would today, if Rahman Lutzlan would be after the Holocaust today, with what we know today, they would right away the number, no, you won't hear the number 6, you would hear the number 7 million. That would be the number etched in our brains. It was a bad mazel that 1 million people were forgotten about. That's also a Holocaust. That itself is a Holocaust.
The 15 to 20 million that were killed off?
There was the war. I mean, World War I, World War II.
They killed the Gypsies, they killed all kinds.
They killed other people as well.
Killed Jews too.
From World War I, how many people died in World War I and World War II in total? 50 million people? Something like that?
They think 60 million.
60 million.
World War II.
World War II in total, 60 million people.
Mm.
Can you imagine?
It cost 8.7 million soldiers alone.
8.7 soldiers.
Soldiers.
I want World War One.
I don't know about World War One.
Can you imagine something? 60 million people. Okay,
also,
so
the definition was just a lot of maybe the ratio, not necessarily.
That's not what he said. I don't think that's what he says. He says there's not a population. He says a population. Just the fact that people exist. If you have the, it's a chiddush. It really is. It's a very big chiddush.
3 million people, 9 by 9. Brooklyn is smaller than 9 by 9.
I don't know. It's not 3 million. I don't think it's 3 million either. I think the numbers is really closer to like 2.6, 2.7. So I think they say it doesn't matter. It's close enough. He says it's close enough that because 3 million is not an exact number. He said it's not an exact number. And then other people who are on a study says when the census counts
60 million people died.
60 million people. Well, and also they say...
That's not Jews.
Yeah, we're talking about the war, yeah. Just a human loss, the tragedy of the loss of human life. It's just not to be believed, such a thing. Who can even wrap your head around that? Anyway, look, Rav Moshe said doesn't tell you only 3 million. Even if you have less, even if you have, I think, like he said, it's not an accurate number. The numbers are close enough where he held that it's a reshus around the rice. I know it's controversial. It's very controversial. I'm not talking a lot of Rav Moshe. This is not the show now. We once had a long talk about this. Whatever it is, but here the pasuk says lo yimad v'lo yisofer. So over here, there's a prohibition to count. You're not allowed to count a Jew. You're not allowed to count Jews. So Amar Rabbi Loza kol amone es Yisrael oivu b'lav shenemar v'hoye mispar b'nei Yisrael kichol hayom asher lo yimat. So it's like a drasha. The pasuk here is saying as a praise. Oh, wow. So many. You can't even count the Jewish people. He interprets the pasuk in a halachic manner. Asher lo yimat. It's instructions. You are not allowed to measure and you are not allowed to count. Isn't that interesting? He's interpreted, even though this symbol, I'm giving you a bracha, you're going to be so numerous, so many. He says, no, it's interpreted as a statement. You're not allowed to measure, and you're not allowed. Kichol hayom asher lo yimad. Rav, the next words are Rav, Nachma Yitzchak Amar, oive b'shnei lavin. Why stop there? Why stop there? The pasuk goes on to say, Shenema lo yimad v'lo yisofer. You may not measure and you may not count, which practically means the same thing. If you want to say the drush, it can say we always have a tendency to compare our generation to another generation. Today, do we have Rav Moshe Feinstein? Do we have a Lubavitcher Rebbe? Do we have Rav Aaron Kotler? What kind of Rabbanim do we have? You're not allowed to do that. Yiftach b'doiroi kishmuel b'doiroi. Just like there's a prohibition asher lo yisofer, you're not allowed to count numbers. You're not allowed to measure. Measure is a connotation of quality. Qualitative. What's in your business? What's in your business to go say, we don't have a Vilna Gaon today, therefore we're nothing, we don't have any leaders today. Mind your own business. Just, we have what we have. Hashem gave us what we have. We have what we need. And that's it. Of course, we strive for greatness, but it's not our place to be critical and to compare one to another. It's a prohibition. The same way, v'lo yisofer, it's v'lo yimad. Now, that's the one gemara. Okay, that's one important yisoy that comes out of this pasuk. Number two, we go further in the medrash, in the gemara. Amar, and this is really what everyone touches upon. This is really the main thrust of almost every commentator on the page, on these two pages. There's no one that does not touch upon the words of this gemara. Amar, Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, Rabbi Yonah son Rami, he posed a contradiction. Ksiv it says, V'hoya mitzpar b'nei Yisrael kichol hayom, like the sin of the sea. Mashmo, in the brackets, he's adding in some interpretation, Shayiye lohem mitzpar, it says the mitzpar will be, there is a number. It says it's going down, where does this pasuk? It says, the pasuk begins, mitzpar b'nei Yisrael kichol hayom. Now, even though it is impossible, even today, with all of our technology, to count the grains of sand, can't do that today. I never heard anyone in technology being able to do such a thing. But it says it's a mispar. There is theoretically, there is a number. Theoretically, if we were to go and count all the grains, we'd come up with a number. Will we do such a thing? Impossible.
We don't know.
What?
The stars can be infinite. We don't know.
We don't. Okay, it's a good point. So, because you have to keep going further and further.
We don't know.
Right. Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. That's talk of something where it's that's different. That's what Mr. Rappaport started. Mention what's the difference between the stars and the sand. The sand is finite.
It's crazy enough, but it's fine.
Finite.
Rambam,
I think what he says over here, as a quote from the Gemara. That's the. Okay, let's see. So, Kichola, Yom Mashma, Shiel, what?
Rambam's talking about equality.
The higher you go, the lower you fall.
When the sand, the little things, the stars, there's a whole planet system.
So let's see. Mashma shiyelchem b'mispar. V'chsev z'asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer v'lo kosh. We have a stira. On the one hand, the pasuk says it's finite. When it comes to the stars, it says, Asher lo yimad v'lo yisofer. It's impossible to count the stars. It's impossible. We don't even know that there's a physical impossibility. Like Klevastira, loikoshia kan bizman shay yisrael isim ritsona shel makim kan bizman shayni isim ritsona shel makim. It all depends if we are doing Hashem's will. We're doing Hashem's will, then we are in the madrega of impossible to count. Exactly what you said from the Ramban, right? Isn't this what the Ramban is saying? Mr. Rapport, this is from the Ramban. The Ramban is drawing, like I told you, everyone is really drawing from the words of Chazal. And this is the Chazal, this is the key. Okay? That's answer number one. Answer number two, Rebbe Omar, Mishum Abba Yosei Ben Dostai, Lo Kosher, Kan Bide Adam, Kan Bide Shomayim. So this, the answer is that when it says you cannot count, it means human beings cannot count. And when it says it can be counted, it means theoretically it can be counted. There's a difference between the possibilities. We have to recognize that Hashem, He knows what the number is. He knows what the number is. But for us, we do not know what the number is. This second drasha is a very important drasha, because the first drasha can take you off in a very dangerous place. It almost goes up against the idea of Hashgacha Pratis. If you're going to say that Klal Yisrael is so numerous that it cannot be counted, so what does that mean exactly? Who can't count? No, not you may be inclined to say even Hashem Chas V'Shalom can't count. It's so numerous. If you're saying that Hashem can't count, which is Apikorsis, of course, but that's not even going Apikorsis. It has a connotation. Not everyone is so important. It has a connotation that there's a lack of Hashgacha Pratis. Klal Yisrael is just infinite. It's infinite, just over the top, way out of hand. So this every single... Okay, Mayor, Mr. Rapport, it sometimes it's hard for me to concentrate. I'm very limited, very small head over here. When there's a lot of talking and competition, it's also arrogance. I don't like competition. I squash the competition. So it's not out of kindness, it's out of arrogance. I'm asking this. What?
I want to
share
my thoughts. Yeah. When Yidna are Madrega,
yeah,
you can never count them, because whenever you finish counting, some more people convert and become Yidna.
Convert?
Whatever it is.
It's always moving. The number is always going up. Very good.
Down,
very good. Very good. You can't
mud,
edit.
Like water, like sand on the bottom of the sea, the mud. And...
It's like databases. Right? Mr. Bloom, you all know your computers, database. So that's one of the big problems, that if you have a document that's been shared by many, many users, you can't edit. How do you edit? If you every time you edit, your document is open. Someone has a right to edit. Who has exclusive use? You have to. So you're right, saying that it's always movement. It's always being edited. So it's not possible for someone, an observer, to make an accounting because you know they take inventory in the store, they shut it down. Right? When you take inventory, you shut down in the middle of the night.
Right.
Not anymore.
The textiles,
what does that? What does that mean?
Style.
Every day, but that style that's how they shut down. No.
They probably didn't process
orders. Oh, so you see, they didn't process. So it's true. So today with computers, you don't need everything. Everything is all.
You know, inventory over a week.
Right. Can you guys shut down a whole store for a week?
There's a perpetual inventory that you had a starting point that you would deduct work in process, and then there was a physical inventory
right.
You take as of today. What's
and you have to shut. In the olden days,
you
had to shut down the store. So our mayor is saying, very good.
Right.
Is that?
Right.
Exactly. So we have to shut down the store. So how can you take in? What is lo yisafer? It means inventory. Isn't that what it means? To measure and to count, take inventory. How do you take inventory? You gotta stop for one moment. Klal Yisrael is continuously moving. They're growing. You can't shut them down. You can't shut them down. I can't take inventory. Lo yisafer. Chidush Rabbeinu Meir. Okay,
but
very good.
It's the smallest.
So it's a stira, atem ha-ma'at. So it means that we start, that means, it's. I guess it means in Golos. We still are the smallest. Look, I always say from Rav Berl Wine, one of his most famous shiurim, is that he counts you 10 times in Jewish history where the next generation was less than half from the previous generation. The persecution and Chorban that took place reduced us reduced us to less than half of what we had before. What nation, other nation in the world, had suffered such tragedy? And yet the other nations disappeared. they disappeared. We don't know what happened to them. They assimilated and became one big mess. And we're still unique, but yet 10 times. And Imam Ashi goes, he goes through all the different examples in Jewish, from the beginning of Jewish history. How are you talking such a thing? Okay, so that's L'chaira. Now, this refers to what's going to be L'yasa Lava. Okay, so this, we have two different. The second answer has a certain mila. Second answer, it says Hashem knows, is a sti. One hand, it says that there is no number, and the other hand, it says there is a number, stira. So the second answer is Hashem knows, but we don't know. That sounds more like a very unsatisfying answer. The first answer is the one that sounds much better. It means that when we are doing the Ritzon Shel Makom, then Hashem, then we're infinite. And when we're not doing the Ritzon Shel Makom, then we're limited, even though we're still very numerous. But the second answer, I think, is much more profound. Because the first answer has a connotation, a flavor, where there's a lack of Hashkacha Pratis. We're just out of control. Klal Yisrael, just out of control. When you're out of control, you don't feel that you have any importance, any you really count. Do I really count? What do I have to offer? There's a billion people like me out there. So what am I worth? What contribution do I have to this world? What satisfaction do I have here living in this world? Hashem says, no, I know the number. It may indeed be into the eyes of the world, people are just so numerous, you're insignificant, but Hashem, He counts every single person. There is a number. If you have a number, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means you have a purpose, you have a tafkid, you have a role to play in this world. And
my grandson has a statement, quotes that Hashem promised the Baruch Hu Avinu that his children will be like the stars in the sky, right? He's saying about himself and all the other kids in Yeshiva, I am one of those lucky stars.
Beautiful, beautiful. Okay, beautiful. Very nice. All right, so these are the two different answers. Okay, these are your sadistic answers of the Gemara. Now let's go to another Chazal. Another Chazal, so we keep on going over here. Kiloya Amike, we're at 1, 2, 3, 4 lines down after it gets 4 lines down from the top. On page 17, on the very, very bottom, where it says Likutei Shas Umidrashei Tatanoyim, 4 lines down after we've gone through the second answer of the Gemara Yoma, in the middle of the line it says that we gedash in the pasuk more. Ki Atem Loy Ami. It says to that you are not my people. That was the third child of Hosea. The Oimer, and then the pasuk goes on to say, now this, we did this yesterday, it's just the Chazara, we did this yesterday, maybe we shouldn't even do this, I'll just read it very, very quickly. The Oimer, V'hoya Misbar Asti, Rabbi Oimer, V'hoya Misbar Bnei Yisrael, K'chol Hayim Asher Lo Yimad V'lo Yisafer, V'hoya B'mokim Asher Yom Lohem Lo Yami Atem, V'chimo Inyin Ze Lo Ze, this is everything promised in the Chazal, Moshe Melech Shukas Al Ishtoi, Sholach Achar Sofer, Lovoi V'lichtoi V'lo Get, Rashi quoted this Gemara, Ad Shloi Bo HaSofer Nisrat Soh HaMelech Lo Ishtoi, he made peace with her, Omar HaMelech Efshah Sheyetzi Sofer Ze Mikan Chaluk, the Sofer is going to be confused. Conflicted. What happened over here? Who knows what he'll tell the people? The media, they're going to interview him. When he gets out of the White House, they're going to say, well, what happened? What happened? Tell us. So who knows what he's going to say? He's going to embarrass me. Elo, oimalo, so he says to the servant, bok, sov, shani, koifalo, ksubasa. Now, double the ksuba. Lekach nemar, so therefore, the perek aleph, in the beginning of the sefer, Hashem says all these harsh things to Klal Yisrael. And then Hashem says, what did I do already? What? I made such a mistake. What? How can I say such horrible things about Klal Yisrael? I have charata. What are they going to say about me? So Mamela Hashem now goes and he doubles it. L'kach nemar ki atem lo yami v'oyim v'hoya mitzvah v'neim k'chol hayom k'chol hayashamayim Moshe shohoya oyev. Now, I'm sorry, we're finished with that chazal. Now we go to the next chazal. See, every time they have those 4 little dots, that means we're starting something new. K'chol hayashamayim, new chazal. Moshe shohoya oyev Yisrael b'yoyser berchon k'chol hayashamayim. Bilam soine liatzmo, that's a euphemism for Klal. He hated himself. It's a euphemism that really means for Klal Yisrael. Berchon ke'ofar, he blessed them like dust. Ki mono mi mono afar Yaakov. Hosea, what a chazal, he's in the middle. He's right smack in the middle. Benoni, nishtahi nishtaher. He was critical of Klal Yisrael like Bilam. He compared them to dust. but he also appreciated the milus of Klal Yisrael, he compared them to stars. That's why Hoshea said both, Berchon Kichoil, for Hoya Misbar B'nei Yisrael, well, it's just, he said only sand. And he doesn't, he ignores the fact that he also said about the stars, right? He ignores
because
that.
He was in the middle.
There's no stars here? Right, there is no stars here. I got all confused, right? There's only sand. There's only sand in this pasuk. When the Chazal was quoting from another pasuk to point out a contradiction. Okay, that's it. But it's a very beautiful Chazal. There are three madregas. There's the madrega of earth, mi mono afar Yaakov. There's the madrega of stars, Moshe Rabbeinu. And then there is the madrega of sand. And that is Hoshea's nature of his perspective. His view is somewhere in the middle. You always can see with a person where they're holding, how they value something. How do you value? The way you talk about something, it shows what you really value. It shows where you're holding. And Hoshea, it is like a Freudian slip. It's a Freudian slip when you tell, I want you to give me an example, compare Klal Yisrael to something which cannot be counted, see, go around the room and see what people come up with. Don't let them think too much, just let them say something and see what they say, and that will reveal where they're holding in their appreciation for Klal Yisrael. Yeah.
You had Rav Nachmanis or whatever said that Chol Hayam has a mispar, yet a mispar.
Yeah.
And the pasuk he says, "Yivnisra Hashem Yecholayam Asher Lo Yisafer." So he's combining two.
That's part of the stira. That's part. But it first begins with the word V'hoyam Mispar. You're right. That's part of the contradiction. That's exactly what it says. It first says V'hoyam Mispar B'nei Yisrael Kichol Hayam. So you're right. It's an expression which means cannot be counted, but the fact that it was worded in such a way where it did say that there is a number is what Chazal are focusing on. If you would have written this pasuk, you would not write it with such verbosity. You would just say it right out that the Klal Yisrael is lo yisofer v'lo lo yiman v'lo yisofer. Why do you have to introduce your statement with the words v'hoya mispar b'nei Yisrael and then come and reject it? So that's part of Chazal. This is the style of Chazal, to pick up on nuances which, according to the Pshut Shel Mikra, it's in the style of speech. It's a style of poetry, of expression. But when you want to go and focus on the words itself, Chazal have a Mesorah that Hashem is coming to teach us something very important in these nuances. And that's what they say. There is a number, but it is not a number. And that's how we have to answer the contradiction. Now, if you want to just touch upon this, Chazal, going back to sin. Sin has a Mila that stars and earth do not have. What is the Mila? It's recyclable. What is sin? What was sin used primarily for in the time of Chazal? Glass. What happens when glass shatters? No problem. Just put it back into the kiln, into the furnace, and do it again. Start all over again. Like cardboard boxes. Plastic bags, plastic containers. What are stars? Stars are beyond reach. We have no shaykhus to the stars. Okay, we're going to go to Mars, right? We're going to go to Mars soon. Okay, good luck. Can't even go back to the moon. How many years has it been since America went to the moon? Whatever happened to the moon? Can't even get back there. What? How many years?
Next year.
50 years. Wow. 50 years before my time. Okay. So what happened to the moon? The moon disappeared? Okay. The stars are beyond our reach. They're beyond. Earth is nothing. If you make a utensil, you make cheres, a kli cheres, and the kli cheres shatters, can you recycle it? No. In the garbage. There's no recycling with regard to kli cheres. Choil is recyclable. So this is also a Freudian slip from Hoshea. The Gemara says, Pshuta Shol Mikra, Chazal, he's in the middle. His appreciation of Klal Yisrael is somewhere in between Bilam and Moshe Rabbeinu. But there's also a special Mila that Hoshea has in Klal Yisrael is, it's never too late. Number one, Torah is practical. It's within your reach. And if you make a mistake, If you make a mistake, don't worry about it. You can start all over again. He was talking about America. Smamish, this is the meat of America. In America, you can be whatever you want to be. Whatever, even the President of the United States. There's nothing you cannot be in the United States of America. It was in your reach. Sand. It's not the stars. Stars is not, I have no shaykhas to the stars. It's not, it's beyond your reach. Sand, earth, once you're in trouble, you're gone. That's it. Once you slip, there's no hope. We know the whole mahus of life today, the approach. Look at the Baal Tshuva movement. There's never in the history of the world been such a Baal Tshuva movement like there is today in the world. And much of it is rooted in America. The koyach of Hischatshus. So what? So what you weren't religious? Who cares? Who cares? Ma'ashay kvar haya. You can renew yourself. So renaissance. So this is mamish, the mahus of sand. So, and I don't think we had this in our history. Time of the Gemara, it appears, there was a class system. You're either a Talmud Chacham, or you're an Amo Aretz. And there wasn't much room to maneuver. That's the impression that I get. Like Rabbi Akiva, he was a gay Rabbi Akiva. He didn't stay until 40 years old. He first started learning until when he was 40 years old. And then he became the Gadol Hadar. He became Amish, the father of Torah Shebal Peh. But that's the exception. That's the exception. The Hamoinam were pshutim, pshutayam. They didn't, not necessarily educated. And then you had the Gedoli Hador like you never had, like you never had. There was a very great disparity between the common man and the Talmidei Chachamim. So the common man, maybe I'm totally wrong, they viewed Torah as out of my league. Greatness in Torah, greatness in Yadus, you do the mitzvahs, you do your bit, but it's miyuchet for great, very great people. And then you have tekufis in history where people fell from greatness because of a crime or because of some circumstance. I don't know, maybe I'm wrong. You don't get the impression that it was easy to be rehabilitated. Okay, you don't get that impression. Like you talk about the time of the Crusades and those tekufis when there was shmat. And not everyone was able to be Oymed bin Nisayon. And people converted. If people converted, not everyone is willing to be thrown into a boiling pot of water. Okay, the story of Chan of Hashem of Onechat. You know what they did to the first child? Can you imagine? This is the first child. The oldest son did not want to bow down to the idols. So what did they do to him? They filled up a boiling pot of water and they said, we're going to throw you into the boiling pot of water. I don't think the average person can be Oymed in such a Nisayon. Okay, so what do you want from people? So what happened to these people when they were not even in the Nisayon, and they want to be the government, everyone, the God, there's a Nitzachin, and the enemy disappears. They want to come back to Shul, and they want to dive to the Amud, and they want to get back their position. I want to be the Baal Tokei, I want to be the Baal Kriya, I want to be the Shatz and Yom Kippurim, Davin Musaf, and you find all these tshuvas. No, that's it. You're gone. You're done. You're toast. What do you mean? Rehabilitation. Take me back. It was a very big struggle. That's maybe I'm wrong. In America, it's not like that. Today, the whole mahus is, you want to be a Talmud Chacham? You want to be the Gadol Hadar? You have all the tools. Go for it. God will support you. We'll help you. You'll use a koilel. You'll find some koilel that will give whatever. And people, Rachman al-Utslan, who have done the worst things, you see that Mika Amcha Yisrael today were very, very open. It's very, very true to take people back, even in the worst circumstances. You're not going to go make them the Gadol Hadar, someone that did the terrible Averos. But it's a culture of acceptance, of recognition that if you have Charata, and this Mamish Choyl, Hoshea is talking to us. Hoshea is after Moshe, he has a different perspective in Klal Yisrael, in what they're going to be like in the times of Mashiach. We're going to make a chol hayom. We're going to reemerge, and be functional like sand. Okay, now let's go to another chazal. These chazals are really, really unbelievable. Let's see what it says over here. The next one is this is a very important chazal. Okay, this is v'hoya bimkaim. We're up to the big bold letters. Going to the next part of the passage. V'hoya bimkaim asher ye'amar lechem lo yami atem ye'amar lechem b'nei kel chai. Beautiful chazal. You are bottom. The morale really is going to touch upon. We do a morale soon. Really touches upon this Gemara. It says that in the bottom. Bizman shatem noyhagim minak bonim, atem kiruyim bonim. Ein atem noyhagim minak bonim, ein atem kiruyim bonim. Divi Rabbi Yehuda, you have to be with the program. Rabbi Meir Oimer, bein kachu, bein kach, he's very generous. Atem kiruyim bonim, you call bonim no matter what. Shememar, it says, bonim sicholim heima. We learned this. Foolish children, you are foolish children. When Hashem criticizes us through Yirmiyah, He still calls us children in His criticism. You're fools, but you're my children. The Oimer. What? Yes, very. We call the Rosh. So maybe we don't paskin like Rabbi Meir. You're right. We paskin like this. We pass like Rabbi Meir in Echanami. So maybe in Echanami, the Baal Haggadah is taking sides. He's taking sides. He go like Rabbi Meir, not like Rabbi Yehuda. Very good. You're making a very, very good point. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the Rosh cannot be called the Ben. How do you call him a Ben? The fact that we call him a Ben seems to indicate that the Baal Haggadah is following the opinion of Rabbi Meir. That's a very simple answer. Next, the Oimer Bonim Lo Ume Ume. So we have a problem in this generation. Is we always think, it goes to put my point there, we're so generous. You always have to say Elu V'Elu Divri Elokim Chaim. Both always have to make sense. It's true. It's definitely true. A lot of probably the majority of the time. But there is a significant amount of time where it's impossible to reconcile two opinions. There's a machlokes. In the Sanhedrin, there's a machlokes. There are 70 members of the Sanhedrin. They took a vote. And there were losers, and there are winners. And if you're a loser, that's it. Too bad for you. Okay, there's an election. It's only going to be one president. You either you win or you lose. You can't be both, can't be president at the same time. That's how it is in halacha many times. Not every single thing in halacha do you say l'kayim divrei shnayim? Kach haya hil oisav zman shabeis hamidushkam haya koyrich matzah mar biyachad. You know, it's the contradictions. Matzah is chayus and mara is galus. How could you have both together? Not everyone is able to have both together. Sometimes it's one or the other. You get like a hard line. Yeah.
That's more in halachic matters where you need a clear-cut path.
Right. Whereas in Agadah, you're able to have both together. Correct.
But reading through, I'm learning Mishnayos now. So yeah, this Maimon Yoshi says this. For himself, though, could that Tana Paschim like himself? Now, is it being held, this is what they're on
track? Absolutely.
And everyone else said, no, it's
all. Moshe finds, there was a fellow over here, he was the very big Talmud Chacham and genius Dr. Eliezer Aaron Price. Anyone remember Zeichel Levracha? He lived over here on East 18th Street. He was a brilliant mathematician. He was a brilliant mathematician, and he was nifted about a couple of years ago. So he used to come to Ma'ariv where I dive, and he used to listen to the end of the Daf Yomi Shir. He always used to tell me interesting things. He was brilliant, and he said that he was a Talmud Muvuk of Rav Moshe Feinstein, very close to Rav Moshe Feinstein, and he had a lot of fascinating chidushim in regard to zmanim. Zmanim of Tzeis Lakechavim, Bein HaShmoshois, and Zman Mincha, Zman Shachris, and he knew the sugyas inside out, and he had these very unique ideas, and he once, and sometimes his conclusion was different, I don't know any of the details, was different than what is common among us. One is Bein HaShmoshois, Machloikis, the Rabbeinu Tam, And the Rambam is it started right after sunset, or is it 13 minutes before 72? Whatever it is, so he told Rav Moshe his chidushim, and he told me when he worked, and he asked Rav Moshe this exact question: can I for myself follow my understanding of the Gemara and halacha lemaisa? Halacha l'maisa, I'm making up something that's totally not. Let's say I hold that Bein HaShmoshos in America cannot possibly begin until 20 minutes after sunset. So therefore, even though the whole world, after 13 minutes, it's already considered to be already Laila to some degree, I'm telling you, I went through all the Rishonim in the Gemara, and I have Chidushim, and it comes out to be clear in my mind that it should be 20 minutes. Just make something up. Can I rely upon my understanding l'halacha to practice this practice? Rav Moshe, what would you think Rav Moshe would say to him? You would think, no, you got to follow what Klal Yisrael does, what it says in Shulchan Aruch. what it says. So you'd be shocked to learn, and this is what he told me. I'm a witness. Okay, I heard this with my own ears. Rav Moshe said to him, he told me, your Moshe says, yes. If you, for real, you're not, no fakery here. You, for real, learned through the Gemara. You went through the Rishonim. You went through the Sugya. And you have clarity in the matter. And I know you're a Talmud Chacham. He gave him smicha. And this is your conclusion? For you yourself, personally, yes. You, halacha lemaisa, can rely upon your understanding. Isn't that shocking? You know why it's not so shocking? Because Rav Moshe himself did this. Rav Moshe himself, many things that he wrote, that he said, are not to be found anywhere. They're just, I learned the sugyas, and this is what makes sense, and this is the halacha, and zehu. Look at Erevin, is one classic example. I mean, that's probably the biggest example where you pass, that you have an area of Yud Beis Mil, we have 2.5 to 3 million people living there, that's automatically a Rishus HaRabim, and that's it, it's over. There's nothing more to discuss. According to Rav Moshe, you're not allowed to make an Erev on a dead-end street. You know that? It is also to make an Erev on a dead-end street, you accomplish nothing. If you take out of your house into the dead-end street, according to Rav Moshe, it's an Isser Deraisa of Hayitzah, Chil Shabbos. Even everyone who's so anti-Erev, you've never seen anyone not carry on a dead-end street from their home to their, on Avenue I over here. Everyone has. There's not a one dead-end street over here on Avenue I that doesn't have an Erev. So what's the pshat? What? No, it doesn't help. You need the losses. You need the losses. Doors. And you can't rely upon, it has to be oymeid, merubah, merubah parts. There are a lot of different issues, which is not every dead-end street qualifies for. So it's much more complex. But no one does this. Go look down the street. My father, he called it Bluth. They want to make an Erev in the apartment buildings on 16th Street. And they asked my father to help them with all the logistics of making the Erev, at least even those who don't use the Erev. So at least they should be able to have at least in that area over there. So my father says, I'm not a bucky in these inyanim. I can't help you. But I'm a rabbi. I'm responsible for you. So I'm gonna help you. So let's bring down the biggest expert that I know can set up. So he called Rabbi Bluth. My father knew Rabbi Bluth. And Rabbi Bluth says, I can't help you. I'm sorry. I'm not your man. Because I'm a Talmud of Rav Moshe. And Rav Moshe holds to make an Erev on a dead end street is an Isser Deraisa. And there's nothing I can do. I have to be loyal to my Rebbe. Go ask someone else. And you'll find people that will help you because the Olam is not makbid in this. The Olam, even though they accept Rav Moshe Psak, the Bnei Torah here, they accept Rav Moshe, but they don't accept him at Kidei Kach not to make an Erev on a dead end street. That far was never accepted, the Chiddush of Rav Moshe. So, but what do you see? But so that really comes to answer your question that you see, so, but now who today, let me ask you, who today can say about themselves? I learned the Gemara, I learned Tosfos, I learned Rashi, I learned the Rosh, the Rif, I went through the basic Rishonim, the Rashba, the Ritva, I've gone through the Rambam, then I've gone through Beis Yosef, the Tor, Beis Yosef, Shulchan Aruch, the Mishneh Berurah, Aruch HaShulchan, and all the modern Svarim, and I understand every possible issue, and this is my understanding of the Sugya, and I disagree. And therefore, I'm going to do what I want to do, and everyone else should go jump in the lake.
Sometimes
I don't think we have anyone among us that has can do that.
Sometimes
wait, he asked this question first. He asked this question first. Yeah.
The Gemara was on the story of Kabbalah when he died. He had three in Yadam that he accepted from his brothers that he agreed with the issue of the Chum. When his son came to him, he said, I accept these on me because I learned it from my dad. But you, my son, who did not
right.
My dad, you have to go. And
right, exactly. Right, exactly. Right. It's only personal. It's personal. And if you don't have a child, a following, a Beis Medrash that's under your, that's submissive to you, it's personal. Zehu, that's it. That's how it goes.
But it's not an uncommon situation where someone says, you know, this is my father's minho.
Right.
So you take on that minho also, even though you don't have the same bikiyas as your father.
Right, so a child is a little bit different. A child, yeah, too, right. A child is different, and the minig is different. Halacha, I don't know, this person is fellow, Dr. Aaron Price. I know his children. They don't follow his children. They do what everyone else does. His father had chidushim. His father may. I don't even know if he did it. I highly doubt. I think it was more of a theoretical question. He told Rav Moshe, I have these ideas, and this one should come out. Can I do it? And Moshe says, yes, you can do it. Did he actually do it? I doubt it. And I probably, the difference is so it's minor, it wouldn't be much of an issue anyway. That's my assumption. That's my assumption. But Minhagim, that's a whole other story, Minhagim. And you deal also with Halacha. Look, the Chofetz Chaim was asked many times, he said that I wrote the Mishnah Berurah for Yesaimim. What do I mean Yesaimim? People who have no Messiah. They don't know the Aleph, they don't know anything. They don't know how to bench. Yeah, Zimun, not Zimun, two, three, one guy walks out, this, that. They're totally lost. So you don't know what to do? Here, read my Sefer. I went through the Sugya. This is what comes out. It's pretty safe. Pretty catch-all, pretty run-of-the-mill. But if you're telling me that it's not the way your tata did it, you sat by your father in his home, and your father did it like this, differently, then my book is not for you. Follow your custom. He said, even things that he wrote in the Mishnah Berurah, he himself did not practice. In the Mishnah Berurah, he says, how many brachas you make on tefillin? Two. L'haniach tefillin and al mitzvahs tefillin. How many brachas did he make the Chofetz Chaim for most of his life? One bracha. The Mechaber says you make one bracha, but Ashkenazim you make two brachas. But he followed the Chofetz Chaim, followed Ramah. He followed Ramah and everything. And yet, when it came to Tzvil, he only made one bracha. What do you mean you make one bracha? You're a hypocrite. Chasam says a word. It says in the Mishnah Berurah, it says Azoy, and you're doing differently. I told you, I have a Messiah. This is how I was taught as a child. This is what my father taught me. This is what I do. People who don't have any minhagim, they don't know. If you go through the sugyas of Shas, this is the run of the mill. This is mainstream halacha. This is what you do. Of course, there are yechidim that have a tradition. They follow a different approach, even though it might be a minority approach. And sometimes, even when it's difficult to understand, you, even halachically, where do you get this from? But there's a joke. It's not a joke. It's a pretty serious matter. The Satmar Rav, Rabbi Yoel, he said the following. And I have an addition. Who am I to be Moisef? But you'll see what I mean. The Satmar Rav said the following. And wait for what I have to say. He says there's a difference between a Rosh Hashiva and a Rebbe.
And a
Rebbe. And a Hasidish Rebbe. When a Hasidish Rebbe, he says the Rosh Hashivas are much better, he said. It's much better to be, so he said, much better to be a member of the Litvisha Mahalach. We have a Rosh Hashiva. For one reason, if a Rosh Hashiva, a Litvisha Baal Halacha, is doing something that's not in Shulchan Aruch, he's doing something on Shabbos during the week, and the Talmidim come and say, Rebbe, Rosh Hashiva, it says in the Shulchan Aruch that you don't do this. It says, not like what you're doing. So the Rosh Hashiva says, you're right. I'm not better than the Shulchan Aruch. I teach Alasuke Shmaitz Aliba de Hilchasa. If in Shulchan Aruch it says to do A, you're right. I made a mistake. Chotosi, Avisi, Poshati. I made a very big toss. If a Rebbe does something that says not in Shulchan Aruch, he says about himself, if a Rebbe does something that's not in Shulchan Aruch, and the Chas, what is the Rebbe doing? It says in Shulchan Aruch Fakert. What is he doing? It must be a Rebbe Sheminog. A Rebbe Sheminog. No questions. No challenges. It's a Messiah. The Rebbe does. Do the Shulchan Aruch. Put the Shulchan Aruch back on the shelf. Take the Shulchan Aruch out of the Beis Medrash. Don't challenge the Rebbe. This is what the Satmar Rav said about himself. So what do I hear? I says, today we have a new thing today where we have Russia yeshivas who are also Rebbes. This is the worst of the worst. Because why is it worst? Because if this is what this Rosh Hashiva / Rebbe does, it's a new Shulchan Aruch. You hear what I'm saying? Boy, would they burn me at the stake for saying such a thing, right?
I want to say the Sephardim also say two times, Uberachot for the Tefillin.
Make one bracha.
When we talk in between.
Yeah, or when you talk in between. When you talk in between, you have to make two brachas. Two brachas, not one bracha. Okay, we're not finished. Let's just finish up this medrash, and then we'll stop. Okay, finish the medrash.
The community has many rabbanim.
Yeah.
And many rabbis here. You know, like
there are rabbis.
Neighborhood, so.
I said I was walking by one time and on Shabbos, I said another guy must have been visiting anybody. He said, there is no Eruv and Flapper. So I got very annoyed. I said, there is an Eruv.
There are three Eruv and Flapper.
I said, there's an Eruv. You don't hold from the Eruv. You don't hold from the Eruv. But you can't say there's
that's
no
right. Eruv. That's right. You're 100% right. 100%. 100%. I'm on your side. 100%. The biggest problem that we have, is from what I see, is there's a lack of acceptance of another perspective. It's tolerance, exactly. Tolerance. My way or the highway.
Right.
And that's extremism. That is an extremism. Like, okay, fine. I have my approach. You have your approach. And that's what Achdus is. Achdus is very, very different. But I tolerate you.
Where does this term Das Torah come from? Yeah, they always emphatically say
Das Torah means, now the Das Torah, go Rabbi Rakefet. Rabbi Rakefet said that he is the biggest expert on Das Torah. He said that. A lot, not only say it, and then when someone took him to task, oh boy, did he get upset. Okay, but that's, I don't know what Das Torah is. What they mean is, this is what my understanding of Das Torah is, let's say you have a question. I have a dilemma. I have two job offers. I can work for company A or company B. Two big, I finished law school, and I sent out my resume, and two major law firms have given me offers. And the salary is almost the same, and the benefits are the same. And I have a real dilemma. What should I do? So is there a halachic issue?
No.
That's Torah. First thing is there's no halach involved whatsoever. There's no halachic issue if I take job A and I take job B. I really, really do not know what to do. So what is Das Torah? You go to a person who is 100% immersed in Torah and is also knowledgeable, has life experience of this world. To find such a person today, I don't think exists. Personally, I don't think exists. Where you can tell me a person who is 100% immersed in Torah. Today, who's immersed in Torah? People today are busy raising money, fundraising, children. The distractions are off the charts like they never existed. And then this person also should be 100% immersed in Torah, should also have life experience to really, really relate to understand what it means to get an offer to work for this company and to work for this company. He would really have to be a lawyer himself to know what these two companies are all about. But let's say theoretically, there is such a person who started out as a lawyer, okay? He worked part as a lawyer, and then somehow he got an offer to be Rosh Shiva, and he sits and he learns Yoimam V'Layla. So what is Das Torah? Das Torah, from what I understand it means, is that such a person who's fully immersed in Torah, when you ask him a question, B'milei D'Alma, in matters of this world, it's filtered. The question is filtered through his mind, which has been completely trained to think like the Torah. Because all he does the whole day. All he does the whole day is he thinks that he learns Torah. He learns Gemara. He learns through Torah concepts. So when you ask him a question relating to apples and oranges, something just very ordinary, it's filtered through a Torah mind. So if I ask him, I got two job offers. And he knows, he knows what I'm talking about because he has experience. But I'm not like him. I sit the whole day and I watch television. I sit the whole day and I fill my smartphone. I learn a little here, a little there, make believe, right? Just a little make believe. But he sits and learns. His mind is occupied 24/7. Therefore, when the question goes through his mind and he tells me, I think you should take job A, that's called Das Torah. There's no halacha involved. Halacha Shulchan Aruch. We're not talking about that. There's no halacha. Number two, we're dealing with a person who's shakua in Torah. Number three, the person has real life experience, who's qualified to answer a question relating to your shayla. Is there halacha, practically speaking, bizman hazeh, any real Das Torah? Personally, I don't want to be an apikoros or say anything wrong. I don't believe any does that. Is there still in our generation the flavor of Das Torah, or at least a demand from the younger generation to recognize that there's a concept called Das Torah, and at least occasionally to make believe, because we are Torah Jews, we are Orthodox Jews, and we are Maminim, B'nai Maminim, and we have to be have a moon in the Ribbono Shel Olam and Talmidei Chacham, or else who are we? We're worthless, we're nothing. So we have to at least try a little bit, epis a little bit. But when the day is over, who are we fooling? That's how I feel.
But he would have to have a reason why A is better than B.
Not necessarily. That's what Das Torah is. That's exactly what Das Torah is. Not necessarily. It's a hergish. It's a certain sensitivity. It's not a Rebbish of sensitivity. See, this is the difference between the Hasidim and Litvaks. If you go to a Rebbe, you're gonna say it was Minashamayim. Hashem put in the Rebbe's mind, it's Ruach HaKodesh, the Hashem put in the Rebbe's mind, this is what you should do. Now, there's truth to that. If everyone in the tzibur gives power to one person, they idolize one person, yeah. If the tzibur gives kach to a person, in the world of Hasidus, there's a belief, there's a reality, they believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu puts Ruach HaKodesh into a Rebbe, even Bizman Hazeh, and the Rebbe will have the siyata d'shmai to tell you the right thing. That's Hasidus. But if you're a misnagate, a real misnagate, you don't go into the other worlds. If you're a misnagate, do not get involved in the spiritual world. Let's keep it here in this world, period. Period. So how does the Rashiva know to tell you what to do? Hashem didn't tell him. He doesn't have Ruach HaKodesh. It's because his mind, being that it's been studying Torah for 50 years, and it's all the mind does the whole day, when you ask him a simple question, the question is being filtered through a mind that is Kula Torah. It's Kula Torah. That's called Das Torah. Today we live in a melting pot. There's no such thing today. Everyone says this. There is no such thing today as pure Litvshe Mahalich, and there's no such thing today as Hasidim. Today we're morphed. Every Hasidish Rebbe is the goal is that the most important thing is Talmud Torah. Unfortunately, not everyone is a Talmud is a major league Talmud Chacham. They'll admit to that you right away. But the Chasidus of Torah is primary. That's not the way Chasidus started. When Chasidus started, I don't believe that Talmud Torah was not really part of the equation. I don't think they really what. Song and dance. To serve Hashem with love, with emotion. Of course, Torah is Torah. Who's denying Torah? Today, a Rebbe has to be viewed by the Hasidim as being a fantastic Talmud Chacham. And if he's not, then the Hasidim are going to hire for the Rebbe the best tutors to stay with him the whole day and to make him into the best that he can possibly be. That's the way it is. Why? Because Hasidim have taken from the literature and they recognize that without Torah, you're nothing. That's a fact. And you go to Rosh Shiva, you hope that he has Ruach HaKodesh. Yeah.
Das Torah means you have to know halacha also. I don't think there was any Rebbe with Das Torah who didn't know halacha.
Rebbes don't have Das Torah. Where do you get Das Torah Rebbes?
Even a Rebbe, you come for advice. If he doesn't know the issue, he will send it to somebody. He won't be issued. He'll say, go to a doctor, I rely on that. But he won't ask him something or tell you what Das Torah is without knowing the halacha. When you go to Rosh Hashiva, if he's a Pesach, yes. If he's not a Pesach,
It all depends. There's no today. There's no this. No that. Every
that's the problem, because
there's nothing today. Everyone today. It's the Wild West. Everyone today. Whatever. No, that's true. It's today. Everyone.
The original the Das Torah, as far even the 60s and 70s, was based on halacha first, and then you had a Das Torah. But to go to someone who does not know halacha and to ask him a Das Torah.
Of course not. Ridiculous. Shtus. You don't need a chacham to tell you this.
But people do it. They go to the Rosh Yeshiva who does not know it, has no experience.
It's ridiculous. You got to be a fool to do something like this. This is not a healthy thing. It's posh. All right, we'll have to stop here. Okay, take a break.